All present and accounted for. We're here laughing as usual.
It's like we started to do this recording, and I had some people come in the studio where I do it on my end. And apparently, it's tour day here at the radio station. And so they came in and we had to start over. But that's cool. I mean, it's all meant to be. I didn't have your phone number at first. And so it's like the universe must be telling us something.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking maybe we need to shift days. But we're here. We're here. No, we need to do it now. So we're together.
And the joy of union sight.
Yes, indeedy. And thank you, by the way, for all the support and the website and all the info that you're putting up for this new website we're doing, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's funny, like, when did we first talk, originally?
I can remember it well. It was snowing, and it was last winter, November.
And, you know, I had mentioned these things to you, and you were excited about it, and it's funny, in a pretty short time, we've already put a lot of things in motion.
Yeah, we have. We've done a lot, and it's almost a year.
Really? That's right.
Yeah. It's 10 months. Hmm. Yep. And we've actually met in person, too. How wild is that?
How wild was that to meet Sister Joy?
I know. I was doing happy dance all day long.
And so it was just a connection instantly, I felt.
Yeah, absolutely.
That one, we have a
remembering
one, we both have a very similar kind of sarcastic, a little bit of that, a little style of humor,
just a wee bit.
And so,
we tend to find similar things funny,
right? And
yeah.
So, that's what's kind of neat about it. I think we're alike like that in many ways. And you believe that we're connected through what, soul family?
I feel we're definitely soul family. I've known you quite a few lifetimes. We've known each other, and that's true of soul family. We tend to circle back around and reconnect and come together lifetime after lifetime.
Yes.
Way cool, huh?
And you remember it obviously better than I do at this point, so I just have to take your word. I just know there's a familiarity about it.
Well, it feels like you're clairsentient, so you feel things.
Mm.
And that is just as powerful as remembering or clairvoyance.
Mm.
It gives you an inner truth barometer. I was just teaching this in a class on Sunday. I like to say I'm sharing information. Keep me off my ego throne, mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
But, it's a thing that we all have a door or a way we can tune in, and the trick is to find whatever that door is and don't limit yourself there, which is the reason why I say I'm a channel as opposed to a clairvoyant or clairsensing or whatever. This way you can access however you need to, and you're not limited.
You know, I don't believe we did anything. I know we did a show with you and Rosalind and Debbie the day you were here, but we haven't talked about when you came out to my place. Do you want to talk about that at all, what you felt and saw?
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that now if you'd like.
Sure.
Well, it was truly going into another dimension. There were spaces where I could feel vortex and windows, and I truly feel that, what do you call the dude, the one with the sticks? What's his name?
The one with the sticks.
You know who I mean.
What?
The guy that hides out.
The guy that hides out.
Yeah. Yeah, the hairy guy.
Jack B. Nimble?
The one who lives in seclusion in your area.
Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquatch. Thank you. And Jack be nimble.
He's got sticks. He jumped over one. Candlestick.
So, Plastic Watch. We're going to have to tell him that he has a whole other name now.
Yeah, Jack.
Be nimble. Yeah. But anyway, I could feel him there. Like, off. I feel like it was on the other side of the door, deep into the woods in that area. And when we drove through it toward your property, I could see the spirits of children playing on the railroad tracks.
Hmm.
I feel like somebody died there. And I felt a lot of ET kind of energy as we came in and left town. There was a lot.
And you know, I told you that, and you said also there was a native crouching in the woods, wasn't
it? Yeah. That's as soon as we came in, I could see them at the top of the driveway, buried in the woods, like they were doing a lookout.
And
so you have natives who steward the land.
And the funny thing is, too, and I'm guessing this ties together with it, we don't get a whole lot of crop circle activity in Upper Michigan, where I live. I mean, it's a pretty sparse area, pretty remote area, a lot of areas. The last time that happened was probably back, I don't know, it's been a long time. And there was one crop circle recording, and it was about a year ago, and it's 3/4 of a mile. At least the farmer lives 3/4. The actual piece of land is a couple of miles from where I'm at. I just find that really weird.
Yeah. Well, I truly felt a lot of ET energy in that area. I also said when I came home that going to Michigan, it was like going into a whole other dimension. In the area where I'm from, people have cell phones and they do all this, excuse me, busy stuff. And in Michigan, people actually connect with each other.
Yeah.
But there's a flow of energy that's different. It's very different. When I went there, I felt like I lived there. It was amazing. And going to your land, that's how I felt. It felt like the most natural thing in the world to be there.
Feels that way to me. That's why I love being out there.
Yeah.
And you felt that I was out there one time before, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You said I was a steward of the land quite a while ago?
I could see that, and you brought all your company with you again.
Some of the people in my life right now.
Well, the Indians who steward the land there now, and the beings, your energy and the energy of the land together, they feel like they work as a doorway, and you stand there and observe and witness without judgment who's coming in and who's gone out.
And I keep it open, too? Is that part of it?
Absolutely.
Because you talked about that the elementals are...
Oh, they love having you there.
And they want to connect with me and want to get the word out.
Yeah.
They want to be...
to the right guy. Look what we can do for a living.
But I'm saying there are those that have been invisible for a long time. That have been remained in hiding.
Yeah.
And this has not happened to me. If other people are listening, maybe you have some strange things going on. And you're wondering, well, what the heck's that? And what are the elementals? What can you tell us about those?
Well, the elementals are the gnomes, leprechauns, fairies, the water sprites, any spirit that's connected with an element, water, air, earth, fire. There's fire elementals, too, and a lot of them have been hidden. Now, when you think in terms of the God, there's the angels, and when you think in terms of the goddess, there's the fairies and all those unknown mythical creatures that have been hidden because the goddess was hidden. Now, with her reemergence, all that is coming up. That's the reason why the stories with the fairies, gnomes, leprechauns, mermaids are becoming more pronounced because this is the reemergence of the hidden things and the divine feminine. So it's right on schedule.
So all this is coming forward now, and people you think they're going to be surprised when they start seeing these things? Are they going to start seeing these things?
Well, a lot of people are seeing them more and more. You just stay open and stay receptive, and sometimes they don't care if you're open and receptive. They're going to show themselves to you for a reason. And usually it's because they have some work they want you to do with them.
It's always for the greater good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. And there are water sprites and fire sprites and air sprites. So
I don't know what those
exciting.
Are. What are water sprites? What do those look like?
They actually look like flecks of light that will dance on the water, but you can see a slight form. They're on top of the water a lot. Well, that they are on top of the water.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
So fun much is too. Going on.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And in your area, we talked. Do you want to share a little about the Michigan Triangle?
Oh, the Great Lakes Triangle.
Yeah, this I found really fascinating. You just told me that this just existed. Never heard of it. And with everything I've heard of, I'm all open to hear your end, and we could tune in and see what the guys have to say. So you want to share?
Okay, yes. Well, we talked about this week we were going to do on this show, talk about Atlantis, talk
yep.
about Bermuda Triangle, and then there's a ship called the Edmund Fitzgerald, which went down in 1975, maybe. It went down at Lake Superior, which Gordon Lightfoot did a song about.
Yeah.
And always in my heart, I felt like there was something more going on, that maybe it was part of this, you know, Bermuda Triangle. There's weird energies there that I think claim ships. There's something going on. A doorway's being opened. Something's happening. Well, I heard about the Great Lakes Triangle not too long ago, years ago. But there was a woman, her name is Kathy Doerr, and she wrote about it, one of the first people to write about an experience she had in Lake Michigan. Now, this involves an area from Lake Michigan to Lake Huron, I believe, and also over to Lake Superior. And they say there's more ships and more planes that have disappeared there than in the Bermuda Triangle, which
yeah.
seems hard to believe. But I've read stories where planes have gone down. You could still see them. There's a story out of a plane leaving Chicago, and they could still see it, and it literally disappeared right in blue sky.
Wow.
And there was another story, well, with Kathy Doerr. She's yachting with a couple other people, and there's two other boats, and like there's this magnetic cloud that's attached to them, and they're going through it, and it really, weird things are happening. The ships are now all of a sudden, one was ahead of her, one it's on the side of her. The captain was up on the wheel, on the sailboat. Well, now he's standing right next to her. So she couldn't understand how these things happen, other than it's some kind of time-space displacement going on. Mm-hmm. Something is causing it, either natural or created by another intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with the Edmund Fitzgerald, anybody that's from up here, it really, the song, I think, really sunk in the hearts of all of us, because you just felt bad for 29 individuals. You know, I know we lose more than that in the world every day, but it was one of the few things that happened up in this area. We don't get a lot happening, you know? And so, generally, it's a pretty peaceful place. You don't have a lot of violence. You don't have a lot of tragedy. And when that happened, especially back then, it really hit everybody's hearts. I don't know if it was something more than that. I guess you would know that. So if you're ready, if you want to, do you want to go there? Do you want to find out what the guide?
Sure.
Guides will tell us about the Great Lakes Triangle, and then we'll go to a couple other things.
Sure. One thing I want to address, first of all, is that when this happened, it hit the hearts of the people, which opened the door to the idea that mm-hmm. something more was happening there.
Okay.
And that's a really important piece, because to open a door of consciousness, the door gets opened with heart energy. So we want to address that. And I do feel the spirits of those souls that were involved in that crash. And what I'm getting, I'm feeling there's a whole lot of activity coming, or a whole lot of energy coming in from different spirits. Like, they want to talk. They all want to talk.
Okay.
And one of them's telling me that there was unexplained activity, and that everything was taken by surprise. Things were happened that were unexplainable. There was something with a sensation where they felt like they were going up, and then they went down. And it was quick. And their transitions were pretty graceful. There wasn't a whole lot of what you call suffering or fighting for your life. There was a surrendering. And I get the sensation that the place where they went down was like a vortex of energy that kind of sent them down. Into the ocean, and they did drown, of course, but there was, before they left, each one of them got the sensation of being linked to an otherworldly kind of space. They were actually tapping in to where their souls were going to go to before they died. So this element of grace came over them and cloaked them. And they wanted, they had agreed, which so often happens when a group of souls go together before they're born, they may sign up to leave a message or a lesson for people. And the message that this group signed up for was to leave a message to look beyond what you see surfacely concerning this area. There's a sacredness to the land out there that gets missing a lot. It gets missed a lot by people. They don't expect to discover this kind of energy or mystery there. And I can still hear these souls. One of them, and we're just going to send some light to them. One of them was saying it was kind of a shock, so we're just sending some light. So there was a little bit of a haunting sensation from one particular soul, which sparked the mystery and the song.
Really?
Yeah. There was, they didn't want to be forgotten. So it came out in the song. So it was to remind people. A lot of them came back again, are here now, and they're opening doors in other ways. And I can hear a few of them saying that this time they get the freedom to live present through the changes.
That's cool.
They won't go that way again.
When you said that there was something unknown happening, can you elaborate on what that is? That like a vortex, a doorway, an energy field, something created? Was it natural?
Well, it's a vortex, but the vortex itself serves as a point where interdimensional communications can come through. So you have different levels of reality that are touching base there, you know, different levels of light. And this is the reason why the ET activity is starting to be known. But it's all divine timing. There's enough mystery going on in that area around that triangle that even though it's kept quiet, people know in that area it exists. So it feels like what's coming up next is the messages will become more public. More like the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
On that level. And there is a vortex there. I can see it, and it spins constantly.
there have been many reports, many people, not reports, because they don't, people don't talk, they don't talk to authorities.
No, they don't.
My friends, some of them native, just people I know, many reports of seeing ships go in and out of the water.
Yep.
So, and not just in Lake Superior, but Lake Michigan. I don't know about Huron. I don't know anybody that lives on Huron, but I know Lake Michigan. I've heard a lot of it, and I heard about it with Superior.
Well, that's the ET energy, and things are kept quiet, partly because of the timing, and timing is relative, but that is a done deal. That'll become more and more visible, that area.
You know what's funny is there, and when I first started working here, and I don't know if this is connected to that in any way, and I don't remember the gal's full name. Her name was Ann. She told me a story about her husband. He went to Lower Michigan, and he came back in a small plane, and they never found him. But for some reason, she really felt he was still alive. And, you know, part of me thinks that if you were to get through one of those doorways, you could still be alive.
Well, absolutely. The soul's immortal. You're just living
in a
different reality.
But even, like, maybe the physical body.
Yeah. It's living in a different reality. See, what I saw was these different, if you think of a vortex, it spins and all that, okay, so you have that activity. But when things go up, they're making contact with many different levels of reality or dimensions. So you could carry your body there. The frequency's high enough. You could do that. But you have to get through a certain door. And there are beings that watch over all that, ET. ET, that's what that feels like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And some people would say, you know, just getting off that a little bit, that, you know, if there are visitors that come here from other places, whether it's other dimensions or other parts of the universe, they have to have like a stargate, a way to travel quickly from one place to another. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Sure, like a door.
A doorway, but it, you could go through that doorway and you can wind up on the other side of the universe.
Yes.
So there's the possibility of those kind of things.
Well, a lot of times people talk about the veils, how at sunrise and sunset the veils are thinner. There are actually people that are born with veils over their face, and they're recognized as people who have sight, who can see things. So the seeing with the veils can be physical, it can be dimensional, but it's always about the veils being thinner so that other dimensions can connect and come through. When you talk to a ghost, I like to say you're only visiting another neighborhood when you're making contact, and everything falls away. You realize there's no separation and that there really isn't a veil once you connect beyond it. It's only there because of man's perception. They need to have a logical explanation of what the third, fourth, fifth dimensions are. So the veils are perceived as the doorways that you go through to get into the other dimensions.
Do you feel there's going to come a day, Joy, when we're going to be fully present in that? Are we going to be able to?
Yes. And I feel that's happening now for some. People are getting more and more comfortable with living outside of time and space in a physical form. I've been talking to more and more people that tell me, oh, I've paralleled here, or I've done. But by paralleling, I mean they experience themselves in more than one reality
You're not talking about parking? Because I park all the time.
You're in a whole other world.
I don't think it's, you know, I think it's in this universe. I'm pretty sure when I park, I look over, it's the same building, and I'm in the same vehicle.
Well, that's in TJ land.
And so I'm going,
and
you know, this is like
some of us are fortunate because we get to visit.
This is like a parallel universe, I bet you, right?
Absolutely.
Here. I'm driving in one right now.
Yes.
So I got to back up three or four times to get in there.
Come back for a minute.
Sorry.
So I'm feeling, though, Yes, it's becoming more and more natural, and it's you've heard of the movie The Secret or the book The
right.
Secret, and
absolutely.
Whatever you feed or give credence to, you create in your world. So if you focus on wanting to parallel into other dimensions, you'll do that. You'll do that. You just keep feeding your frequency light, reaffirm your light, I am light, and you keep raising your energy. And then you envision yourself going there. It's time travel at its finest.
Hmm.
It's very easy.
You do it?
Well, don't we all?
That's right. We've talked about that before.
Yes, we have. You do it, too. Come on, own up to it.
I believe I do.
Yes, you do.
But I don't remember it as clearly.
Yeah, but you do it.
Okay.
You do it. And that's the thing that will happen. The memory will get clearer, and you'll feel more and more present with your own soul and the vastness of it. That's why being present is so cool, you know. You get the sensation of being the fullness of all that you are. You realize you're really not just this one form. Your soul's so much bigger.
Isn't that's like that with everybody. Everybody's aware of that, aren't they? Or maybe
no.
Not. Okay.
No, that's why they have all these different modalities out there now that support people with becoming present.
Okay.
Do you realize that violence exists simply because people show a lack of presence in their own body with their soul?
Violence exists because they show a lack of presence. Can you explain that?
Well, when somebody is acting out violently, if they're hurting someone, their soul is not present in their body. Some part of them has disconnected,
oh.
And their soul has left.
Okay.
This is the reason why you can talk to an abuser, and they'll have no conscious memory of hurting someone because they weren't there.
Did something else step in?
Well, it's not so much that something else stepped in as an array of fear in that soul took over. So they operated from fear. Course in Miracles teaches that there's only two emotions, fear and love. And if you feed love, what you have is happy and your soul's in your body and you go around doing nice things. If you live from fear, you live in a state of separation, your soul's out of your body, and you go around doing nasty things.
Hmm.
So it's kind of in that realm there.
And things like anger, is that a form of fear or what?
Well, every emotion, it's not the emotion that's bad, it's what you do with it. So even if you're in fear or anger, you can ask the fear or anger what the lesson is so you can move to light and love, so
mm-hmm.
you master it.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a good idea.
I'm going to quiz you on this later.
I bet you will.
You better pay attention.
Taking notes right now.
That reminds me, one day we'll do a thingy if you want to do it on learning to channel.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good. You're signed up then. You'll go into the graduate class.
You know, you've told me that I've channeled before. We can all do this.
You do it all the time.
Well, you know, the thing is, it finally hit home with me, Joy. I know you tell me these things all the time, and I'm one of these people that's like, I want to believe, and I think I do believe, but, you know, most people are probably in this right now, so this is probably good that I'm like this, because people can relate.
Mm-hmm. People test.
Well,
they test consciousness because they're not sure if their own consciousness is real.
Well, you don't know if it's you thinking it or if it's actually somebody coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing a book.
Yay.
I put 27 hard pages into it.
I am so proud.
But initially when I started writing this book, and I'm going to go back and rewrite it, because I pretended at the beginning of each chapter that God was speaking to me. And...
Mm.
He would be kind of, let's face it, he'd be kind of a smartass. And he would joke around. And he didn't take anything too seriously. And he would say things. And I didn't know. I just thought that was me kind of speaking. And then I started reading this other book by Neil Donald Walsh. And that's the one where he conversations with God.
Mm-hmm.
God is the same way in that yep. book. And I'm thinking if he really is speaking, which I think he is speaking to something higher.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like I put in the book. So I guess I was channeling him that time.
Absolutely.
Or her, whatever you want to.
Him, her, yeah.
She, yeah. So it started to get me to think, I guess I can do that.
Yes.
All of us have to face that point somewhere. We have to believe. When did you start believing?
It wasn't really believing. I was just doing, and somebody pinpointed out, they said, oh, you're channeling Christ. And I was like, huh, really? And I had been doing that my whole life.
Hmm.
I didn't think, oh, I'm channeling. I thought this is what everyone did.
So you did that, you said, for how many years? 30?
What, channeled Christ?
Yeah.
About 33 years.
So you channeled him for the full length of the time that he was supposedly alive.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about that? Does that mean anything or no?
Well, I figured out what it meant along the way, but the most important thing that I figured out was it gave me a strong connection to light, which made it easier for me to reach out and help people. Mm. I mean, that's what it's all about, really.
Reaching out and helping others?
Yeah. Living the oneness.
Yeah, the
Doing
oneness.
What we're here to do.
But also, isn't it about our journey? Because we're really here to, aren't we here to experience what it's like to be in a human body?
Absolutely, and that's why I'm writing this book, that I'm 80% done.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mine's only going to have 40 pages. Go ahead.
You want to trade?
No, mine's going to have more than that, but I've only been working on mine for 7 years, so
seven
you figure
years.
That's about 4 pages a year.
That's pretty good. Proud. Mine will be done by spring, seriously.
This is what I heard last spring. I
know, but this time I've made a decision. I am going to finish it this winter.
Okay. So, I'm going to finish mine, too.
All right, the two of us. It's
maybe
a
we
commitment.
Can, maybe
all
can give,
the listeners have heard.
We're going to give people a deal if they buy both books.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Buy one, pay,
deal.
Buy one, pay double for the second. No?
I'll tell you, TJ, you're such a creative soul.
The math is, I'm just thinking, well, I'll make some money that way.
Yeah?
It's not about the money, of course, but money's not a bad thing.
Well, money isn't a bad thing. What it can do is, I look at it like this, it's handy for what it can provide.
Right.
So in that respect, yeah, it's important. Why don't we talk a little about Atlantis?
Ah, the lost. You know, since we just did the Great Lakes Triangle, you don't want to jump in, you want to go back to that later?
Well, we could do that. I'm flexible.
Yeah, I can touch my tongue to my nose. Hang on.
Oh, God. You're pretty, really on a roll
pretty
today,
flexible.
Young man.
I got this. Can you reach your arm behind
don't
your
get
back?
Me laughing again.
I can still reach my arm behind my back and touch my other hand, huh?
Very impressive.
Not bad for a guy.
You're truly a gifted child.
Laughter is one of the great... Isn't that really what, in a way, what source is, don't you think? I mean, it's so many things, but part of it really is laughter.
It's laughter. I see laughter as pretty much linked to happiness, generally, overall, you know? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've heard the beings say is the quickest way to raise your frequency is to get happy and go have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So... That's a good thing. Keep laughing.
That's what I like doing it.
I know. Me too. Me too.
Bermuda Triangle. This is an area
that
is near Bermuda, in case you didn't know.
Yes, indeed.
And it runs down towards Miami and I think Bahamas. I'm not sure exactly. Not too long ago, maybe, probably over a year ago, I did my first interview with a man who's from Miami, and he flew the triangle. And he came out of it, he said this magnetic cloud, similar to what Kathy Doerr experienced, his name is Bruce Gernon, Bruce experienced this magnetic cloud and it made all his all his compasses went weird, like you hear people say.
Yeah.
And this cloud actually followed him. It followed and clung to the side of his craft. Now, that seems highly unusual. And then, as he's going through this cloud, they're desperately trying to get out of it. He sees like a swirling opening that mm-hmm. you can kind of see through a little bit on the side.
Yeah.
And you can see to the end of this tunnel. And it's starting to close in. So he thinks, I got to get out of this, because if this thing closes, I don't know what that means. I don't think I'm going to survive. So he's with his father and another man, 1972. And they get to the end of this thing. And what basically happened is he thought he was 80 miles out from Miami. He was there literally in a matter of seconds. And he radios the tower, says, I'm 80 miles out. I'll be coming in soon. They said, you're already in Miami. He traveled 70 miles, approximately 70 miles, in a matter of a few seconds. They estimate, a scientist estimated his time, 3,200 miles an hour. Now, he's flying one of those Bonanza planes that goes 200 miles an hour. If it were to go 3,200, it would have been torn to pieces.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is what I'm getting. First of all, he was riding the wave of the vortex. The mm-hmm. vortex took him in. And the frequency of the vortex and his frequency became congruent for that length of time. So he was able to materialize from that vortex. It's all about union and congruency. When you go into a state of oneness with something, right, mm-hmm. you're not separate from it. You mm-hmm. take on that energy. So in this case, it feels like his plane and he himself became congruent with the vortex and was lifted to where he was supposed to go, and it was directed by a ship.
When you say a ship, what do you mean?
A spaceship.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It feels like this area, the Bermuda Triangle, also has ley lines that are linked to the grid of the Earth. So there's a lot of esoteric work done on the aura of the Earth, all right? And places like the Bermuda Triangle, the pyramids, all this, hold these points or these grids together. It feels like the Bermuda Triangle is also an area where when there are activations or things that need to shift, a lot of work is done by ETs in that area also.
Interesting.
So we have another door here.
You don't know where this doorway leads.
Well, when I say we have another door, I feel there's massive ships. This is a dimension in the ET realm. That's what I see. And I see them flying a lot in that area.
There's been a lot of...
I also feel, too, Peru is another area that has the same energy, big time.
There's
up
been
in the mountains, huh?
I was going to say there's been a lot of reports. Bruce said he didn't see a UFO during that event, but he said he's seen UFOs at least a dozen times or close to that when he's traveled through
that
area.
Well, now he has, because he's been in touch with them already.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, when you make contact with them, and it's not scary or anything, you'll tend to magnetize to them because there's some work that's being done together.
And so are there those that are visiting us that maybe don't always have the best intention?
Well, I have this thing, TJ.
You have a lot of things.
I know, but let me explain this thing. You know how I said in the book, The Secret, the things that you nurture,
mm-hmm,
you
right,
magnetize
right,
to you?
Right.
So in the land of joy, what I do is I focus on that light and affirm it in myself, see it everywhere, and live from there. Why would I want to give credence to anything else?
I guess just because...
It's like, I wouldn't want to give my power away to anything else.
Right.
You get that?
I know what you're saying. We're not going to go there because then you're giving it power, right?
Well, it's not even that we won't go there. It's just simply that I don't feed that realm. And then what I can do is keep feeding the light realm and remind people, hey, why don't you try this, you know?
Right. But is it feeding it if you just talk about it and don't put an emotional connection to it?
Well, I think people, when they look at denser energies or things in that realm, they're going through learning. And sometimes karma. And also, they may be in a path of discovery of what their gifts are. I had a time in my life when I would touch the photo of missing children and I would lay down and get sick and the whole thing. And now, after years of working with holding my frequency, I can tune into the soul of the child who died without taking on the pain and finding out the condition of the soul and who's doing what and how things are, and do it peaceably, which makes me more effective because I'm not in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's the thing. I think we draw those things to us as an opportunity to master them so we can embody more light and stay neutral and keep spreading light. And then we don't give our power away to anything that would appear to be less than light.
All right.
That's just my Dr.
That's
Stewart
a
perception.
Good explanation.
All right.
I can live with that.
Next test.
So what we have with places like, there's a place in Japan where people, where some people believe that there are doorways, and I've even heard like there are doorways to the hollow earth.
Well, there are. I've seen that last year. I started channeling this guy, his name was Oscar, and he told me he was a Middle Earth being, and he was blue, and he was ancient, very old, and it really helped me understand more fully the awareness of the beings in the Middle Earth. That's real.
And when you say Middle Earth, I guess I've heard like there's like, you know, there's an expedition. I don't know if they made it, but I interviewed some people that were actually going on an expedition to find a polar opening where they believe leads to a hollow earth.
Well, when we look at the vortexes that go up, we have them that go down too. What I see are these vortex openings that go into the earth.
Okay.
And some of them can be located near caves, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Cave discovery would be very important in that realm.
Can you pinpoint any places where there might be caves that could... Does anything come to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's the United States out west. There's that whole city where there's that tribe of natives just disappeared off the earth.
Okay.
I think it's in Arizona. And there's a whole city that's left deserted, cave dwellings that are deserted.
Right. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
New Mexico or Arizona?
I think it's Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one. And I feel like Peru is loaded with all kinds of stuff. Mm,
yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Egypt, I get Egypt. And I also feel there are countries or islands in the ocean that haven't really been discovered by people or looked at, and I feel there's a lot of activity in some of those places.
Hmm. Places like, you know, I always wondered with the Easter Island, what were they trying to tell us? Because that's more than just, we're just going to make some carvings. At least I feel it is.
It's interesting. When you look at those structures, they look very E.T.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, this is my perception. I'm not saying anyone has to buy into anything I'm saying.
How much do I got to spend here to buy into this? What do I need?
$50. I'm giving you a deal for today.
There you go.
Okay. So, but those stones are definitely, and from what I've seen, they look very ET. There's a lot of that, and it just keeps coming up because it's time for the light to be. Reveal all that. Yeah.
The truth is going to come out.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well said.
And so we really have probably been visited and interacted with for a long time here, haven't we?
Yes. Since the beginning. And really, is there a beginning anyway? Isn't it all kind of going on simultaneously?
Well, if you're
ready to receive it.
If you want to blow my mind, yes, I'm sure it's all going on at once, and the history is, and the past is going on with the present and the future, and it's like,
That's right. But it's what we receive, what we focus on. That's what we live.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it
experience it. I agree with that. I agree with it.
Okay.
I don't completely understand, but I agree with it.
Oh, what the heck.
So now, do you want to move on to Atlantis?
Sure.
Because this is something that I'm guessing holds maybe a little more to both of us, right?
I feel it does. I feel like we've both been there. Not that we're not here, too, but we were there.
Right.
And we're still there.
Part of us is.
All right. So some of what I want to share are memories I've had years ago. I went through a regression. And in the regression, I tapped into a lifetime in Atlantis. And there are some cool things I want to share about what I remember. I remember how they had golden, like chariots were made of solid gold, and they were run by the energy of crystals. There was no motor or anything, and they hovered. They understood how to harness the energy of crystals and use it for machinery. And I think that that's part of what happens with spaceships, too.
Mm-hmm.
That same hovering without sound. And during that time, there's many different stories, and this is my story. There were spiritual schools where you could go and you could apprentice, and I was a young apprentice at a school. And during that time, there were these tests that were going on with how to use the crystals. There was a crew that were working with trying to use them for selfish gain, and there were those that were using them for healing. And there was a direct conflict. There was actually a cataclysmic event that occurred due partly to the unified forces of people taking and abusing crystals. And it's interesting because you have people that have a very strong reaction to crystals. Some of them are like, oh, no, that's evil stuff. I've heard all kinds of reaction. And to have that much of a charge around a stone is very interesting to me. And I feel it's that way because people have a cellular memory of that time, and they had seen not what the crystals did, but what the misuse of things can do, how it can destroy a whole continent. There is another neat thing I want to tell you about. In Atlantis, they also use this crystal chamber as a wedding chamber, and the bride and groom would step into this crystal chamber, and the sound would go off like a humming. And when the two souls were unified, doves would fly out of the top. It was very magical. And there were things, too, the dress, the people. I remember the people of Atlantis were very beautiful, and their skin was very light, and their eyes were light, and the majority had lighter hair. There were some dark-haired people. people, but the eyes were light, and the features were really fair. There was, when you think of the fairy kingdom, you know how the fairies look tall and kind of thin, small, like that. That's what they look like. And the clothing was rich. It was either rich in, do you know the Roman Empire, the wealthy, when they would dress, they had this knack for creating clothing that was very detailed and very beautiful. Or, and they had that in Atlantis, and where they had very simple, humble way of dressing. And generally, the humble dressers were connected to spiritual because they took their focus off the material. You with me here?
I think so.
Okay. So we went from war to fashion. And let's get back to war. So what happened, there were actually magicians in the spiritual schools that would teach people how to use the crystals for healing, how to increase their connection to spirit. Most of the people were very telepathic and would communicate that way as well as verbally. There was also things with how in Atlantis the city would raise the children. The parents would give the child in a group ceremony, and all the women of the village would raise the children and that kind of thing. So these children were actually geared toward going to whatever they were passionate about, and this made going into the spiritual schools really important because somebody's heart and soul led them there. They weren't coerced by a parent or anyone. So people were encouraged to follow their heart's desire. So it was interesting because during that time, the split between oneness and separation was totally acted out. And when that gets acted out, what it is a message or a cry to the universe to heal this. So its myth was never forgotten because its lesson was never intended to be forgotten. And that's what I remember.
That's wow. That's amazing. And then, and also, you know, there's, you realize that maybe in many ways technology was superior, for
it
one.
It was. Yeah.
And also the way they harnessed things, there was a time that they had a golden age when we lived probably more congruent.
Yes. Those that lived congruently did so. They truly did so. They were committed. And this small group that misused the power that they were given really showed or left the impression that in order to have unity, every person has to be in it. A small group can outweigh a full force of that much union if it's given that much knowledge, and it abuses it. So
I wonder how many times in our history we've kind of gone up and down that hill, you know?
Many times. I mean, look at what happened with the Jews. That was another cry that humanity had to heal this. We've had things with the Native Americans. That was a cry. So that message keeps going out. It keeps going out, and it will do so until everybody says, yo, I'm on board.
But also,
and I have no question that'll happen.
But I guess what I'm asking is that there was a time when we were more aware and we were more advanced spiritually and technologically, and I'm guessing there's probably been many times when we built ourselves up and tore ourselves down.
And that's the learning again. But here's what's happening now. A lot of people that were around during the building up and tearing down points have been reincarnated. And a lot of those souls are light workers who understand the importance of accessing the wisdom of those lifetimes and bringing it through to support union on the planet. And our children that are coming in do this too. So right now, more than ever, we are aligned with grace like never before. This, I've heard this said, that there are souls that fight to come to Earth now.
Mm.
Because this is the time of the Great Awakening, the time where we have the choice, and a lot of us have chosen to co-create heaven on Earth. And I'm not saying that there isn't work that has to be done to do that. Sure, things have to unify for so many people. But there are many souls that have signed up to live this already. So there's a foundation that is in place. And I feel that foundation comes from the wisdom that we've gathered from the many lifetimes we've lived, where we've learned things we've needed to learn. And some of us did it individually or as a group, with groups of souls. And we've signed up and said, oh, yeah, this time we're going to do it. So that's my heart speaking.
And that's the way I feel, too, is that
yeah.
A lot of us have. I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day about, look how many people appear to be on the same page. A lot of them are maybe saying something slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
But so many are saying a very, very similar thing. And how could all these people come to this conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
And the number just continues to seem to be growing. And then, you remember how I was telling you about Travis, the younger fella that works with me at the radio station?
Yeah.
He wants to do a show with me now. I talked
Yay.
To him. I asked him, and he said he would. And so he's so aware.
Mm.
And you told me there's a young fella that you know too, right?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
And I've seen this now for quite a while. The awareness in even young children.
Yes.
But teenagers, and it's just, when I was a kid, maybe I was missing the boat, but there weren't too many of us that were, I get it, I'm aware.
It was the exception when we were kids. Back in those days, really the only psychic channel kind of medium dude was around was Casey and Jeannie Dixon. Those
oh,
were
yeah.
the only two
yeah.
I heard of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Me too, I remember hearing that.
Yeah, so it was the exception. That's where we know there's this great awakening now.
Right, there just was less of an opportunity for people to be. We had more, I don't know how you describe it, but there just wasn't the opportunity to, I always feel like there was a shield, and that shield is corrected, it's cracked, or cracked, that's a word, and it cracked more and more and allowed more light to come in.
Absolutely, and you know who stepped forward with calling the light in? It was the hippies. The hippies were the ones that called for the light, the consciousness to open.
And so really,
mm-hmm.
is this the dawning of the age of Aquarius then?
Well, yeah, and then some. But they laid this foundation through the concept of love. Love your neighbor, no matter how high everyone was. The idea of living from that space of love was introduced through them and the light. They also called for the light. Remember?
Well, I was pretty young back then when that was taking place.
Me too.
I wasn't a hippie.
Make it to Woodstock the first time, only the second.
That really was not my time period. I thought, you know, they were a bunch of druggies, and I wasn't really interested. Yeah, to be honest with you. But I did like the message, some of the message, what they had to say.
Yeah, see, that's what I heard was the message. Like, if everything has light to it beyond the behavior, all right, was the call for light. That much people being that radical, they were calling for a change.
Interesting.
That's my perception.
Well, it's a pretty darn good one.
I'm working on it, TJ.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
Well, this was quite delightful.
Yes, it was.
And
it really was.
I want to thank you again for doing this with me. This is such fun.
It is. And you know, this time it's like we're both pretty laid back because we're kind of high energy, I think, the last time we did this and laughing a lot. But that's good.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have to, I don't perceive it as being anything other than just us having fun.
Absolutely. It is fun, and why should evolution be boring?
Right. And why should we have to worry about, I don't worry about, oh my goodness, are people going to like the way we said this or did that, or there's some imperfections? I trust the universe to just lay it out for us, and we'll just let it go with that. So
I like that. And we do hope you enjoy yourselves, everyone, though. We do.
And
right?
Don't forget to plug your T-shirts for peace, if I can remind you.
Oh, I have to plug T-shirts for peace.
Or you want me to plug it?
Well, if you insist.
Because you know more about it.
All right. T-shirts for Peace is organizing a monthly meditation that is specifically focused on the safety and well-being of children. And I'm going to give everyone updates, a call-in number. It's free. You can call in and just join us. And we're just building a wave to hold all the souls of all the kids in safety. They're in school now, and it just feels important to do that.
And then also, I mean, through your website, you're selling T-shirts.
Yeah, T-shirts and all manner of things, products, services.
And what is the goal, besides world domination? What is the goal?
What is the goal?
What is the goal for, what is your hope?
Well, there's many ways that people are doing this, but this is part of the vision of co-creating heaven on earth. For our kids, and as we do that with them, it affects our whole world. It's another way to bring the resolution of violence and all the issues and things that kids deal with. It's a resolution to all their struggles. The other thing that we really, really focus on are coming up with ways to stop all forms of violence, which also includes the idea that if we're dealing with somebody, a perpetrator, or somebody who's ready for help, constructively really wants help, not somebody who's not ready and playing a game, we would provide a service to help them. Because if we're going to heal violence, we need to do something different. Because the old stuff we did just isn't working. So this seems to be one of the pieces that keeps getting pushed off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with the kids and all parties involved.
Well, I have to say, you know, a friend of mine told me a long time ago, you don't fight fire with fire, you fight it with water. And that's like saying you don't fight hatred with hate, you fight it with love.
Yeah.
And so I know how that works because it's worked for me firsthand when I've been upset with people and I put myself in a state of grace and just powerful, mm-hmm. unconditional love.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly, without even seeing the person,
yep.
how quickly they truly can turn around. It doesn't mean it's going to work every time, but I've seen it happen enough to I know exactly what you're saying, Joy.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister, for hooking up with your brother. Your goofy brother,
yay.
And wanting to do some stuff together in this lifetime.
Oh, it's an honor. I love you. You're just definitely my soul brother, and we all love you, TJ.
Well, I love you guys, all of my soul sisters, and it was great doing another show with you, and we'll do another one soon.
Okay.